Well, this time is all about sharing our faith, sharing our time. I'm perfectly aware that this is not the best part of the year to have this kind of gathering. Many people, it's summertime, many people are away, and probably you also are daydreaming about being away, but we are here and we will do the most of this time. We have the opportunity to share. Again, thank you for being here. Well, I was thinking, yesterday I was invited to know one of the largest malls in the world, and you know what I am referring to. It is West Edmonton Mall. It is really huge. And then I was thinking about Jesus, about our Christian faith, and this very impressive amount of stores and services, places to relax, to shop, to do whatever you like. And then the question is, well, is there anything that we cannot get from this wonderful place? Apparently, there is something for everybody. It is not in the order of thousands, but in the order of millions of items and services and things of all kind. And you can ask yourself, is there anything that is missing in that huge range of things, clothes, technology, services? It is a good question because what we find in the New Testament is that the Lord says, "I have come that you may have life." But if we meet somebody in a place like that one and we ask them, "Do you feel that you need life?" Probably people would be absolutely puzzled. That I need what? That you need life, abundant life. Probably people would say, "Abundant life is exactly what I already have. I have abundant life. I have plenty of everything. And if I wish more, I know the way to getting more. What I need is more money. That's what I need to have more." So there is a sort of contradiction, or at least some sort of tension, between what we get, what we can find in the world, and what Jesus teaches us. What he is saying is that he's coming to save us. But again, if you see a person walking down the long corridors in West Edmonton Mall, probably that person could ask himself or herself, "What do I need to be saved from? I am okay. I am fine. So what is all that buzz about salvation and about redemption? I am fine. If I have a problem with my health, there is the family doctor. If there is a problem with my mind, I go to the psychologist, for example. If there is a problem with poverty, well, we have our politicians. Maybe they are not the best of the world, but that's what we have, and they have to answer our questions, and they have to act according to budget. So every question, every demand that we could possibly think of can be faced according to worldly answers. And so the question is, what is lacking in that scheme of things. And some people would say, nothing is lacking. I don't miss anything. I have what I need. I have what I want. So what's the problem? And even some people think that religion has just come to make life difficult or to make life tense between peoples, between cultures, between nations. If you go to the college, most probably some of your teachers think of religion more as a source of problems, not the source of answers or solutions. And of course, your Christian faith gets challenged. Most probably your family is a family of believers. You have been raised as a Catholic, as a Christian, but then you pose these kind of questions, and it is only natural. Or you receive these kind of questions from other people. What is religion for? What is the real contribution of religion to the good of society? Is it really necessary to be religious in order to be good and to be caring and loving and sharing and all that? You may know many people that are good people, and they are not monsters, they are not murderers, they are not criminals. They simply don't believe in God, and they don't think that's a bad thing. They use their time in different ways. When I was coming to this beautiful city, I was in the plane, and the person next to me was a Canadian lady. Very friendly, very caring. In fact, she spends a fair portion of his life giving aid to people with disabilities. But she does so not because of religious reasons. She does so just because it feels good. It feels good to do something for other people. And that's the whole reason for her. She doesn't need another reason for doing so, for doing that. So it is a good question. And I would like to pose the question in terms of what I call the market. And what I mean by the market, with capital M, the market is not only the particular place, say the mall, but the general scheme of things we live in nowadays. Market means that if you work hard in the normal order of things, you can earn more. That's the market. Market is that you pay and you receive. That's the market. What is missing in that scheme? Well, I think that we find in the gospel some examples of people for whom the market was not working. Because you know, when you have money, the market works for you. The market was set up exactly for that situation. If you have the money, you go, you pay, you receive, the system works for you. But then, what happens if you don't have the money? Well, you can borrow, You can ask. It is not that simple. Because the market is not only about the money. The market is about love, for example. Think of beauty. Beauty is also part of the market. In what sense? In the sense that if you are very beautiful, you get a lot of attention. And attention is one of the things that is more enjoyable in life. Attention means that you are, well, you are important. In the circle you move, usually, ordinarily, you get attention, so you can get friends. Probably you can get the attention exactly of that particular person you like the most. So also beauty belongs to the market. The market is not only about money. That's one of the aspects. And I can get a loan of money, but I cannot get a loan of beauty. It's not that easy. I cannot go to the bank and to say, hey, please do something for me. It's not that easy. Although you can, with some money, you can get a surgery or something like that. But you get the idea. Now think, for example, of being cheerful or being smart, being intelligent, or being loving. Think of human relationships in terms of the market. Because the same logic that we learn and use in the mall is the same logic that we then tend to use in human relationships. Which means that if I am very cheerful and easygoing and intelligent, and I am good in expressing myself, again, this is part of the market. It is easier for me to enter into a relationship, be it affectionate relationship or business relationship with other people. But again, what about the people that are not that smart, that beautiful, that charming, that intelligent? What about that people? And the fact is that many of us are not that rich, that charming, that beautiful. It is true that with some money, but it could be very, very high lump of money. With some money you can improve yourself up to a point. But not every young lady will be as perfect, as beautiful as they would like to be. So there are limits. And one of the problems of the logic of the market is that it is creating frustration in many people. Because it is only a few celebrities that have everything. The rest of us are out of the market in many instances. I try to explain myself. Think of beauty again. To be beautiful is a great thing, but how many truly beautiful people you have around yourself, counting yourself? Truly beautiful people. People that you say, wow. I don't know you, but I don't have many, including myself. It's not that easy.
Which means that many of us, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to that other kind of market, we are not that charming, we are not that powerful, we are not that rich, we are not that clever to get all the attention and to connect with the people we would like to connect to. So the market is creating some form of frustration, and that is a hint of something else. But let's proceed step by step. Let's go back to West Edmonton Mall. People walking up and down by the corridors, lots of stores. Apparently, we share the same space. Is it that true? Not really. There is something that is called capacity of spending. Some of us have very tiny capacity of spending. If you go to the mall and you have $50 to spend that particular evening, that's your capacity for spending. But the person next to you probably has $500 that she could spend that afternoon or that evening. And the next person probably has $5,000. And I don't know how big that sum can grow. And we share the same physical space, but we are not sharing the same experience. Because if my capacity of spending is very, very reduced, is very tiny, then I can see many things, but they are not mine. They are beyond reach. I can only be a spectator of that. I can see, admire, wish, and sigh. That's all I can do. Other people that have a bigger capacity of spending, they see that, and that's not beyond reach, that's within reach. They are able to get that. They could grab almost everything that they want, prefer, or wish. So we are in the same world, but we are not in the same world. The market is a kind of shared illusion, and I hope I can bring this idea to the front. We share the same world, but it is not the same world. We can walk by the same stores, but those stores are not telling the same story to each one of us. Because there is a factor that is making a difference between me and the next person. And probably I have less, far less, other people have far more, or the contrary. So we are not exactly in the same world. We share the same space. We can see the same technology, the same gadgets, the same cars, the same clothes. I can walk into the store and can ask, how much is it for this particular picture that I like very much? That was my experience yesterday. I saw a very, very beautiful picture. Well, there was a little tag telling me it was over $8,000, that picture, because it is an original one. $8,000. Oh, okay, yes, it is beautiful, thank you. Bye. That was all my experience with the picture. Other people can walk in, see the picture and say, and they say, that's perfect for the living room. This is my card. Charge it. Now that's mine. We are entering into the same room. We are sharing the same space, the space of the store, but we are not sharing the same experience. And again, this brings frustration to some people. And that frustration and that sense of failure becomes rage in some cases for some people. Of course, you know what has happened in some parts of London recently. London, England, not London, Canada. In London, England, riots, riots. People looting. Well, England is not exactly third world. But England belongs to the market. So people that have become tired of that frustration were exactly attacking the market. I'm not endorsing that kind of attitude. Please do not misunderstand me. I am not recommending that kind of action. Nor am I proposing that we destroy the market and we go and build big farms or whatever. That's not the idea. What I am trying to stress is the limits of the market. The limits of the market, because when we understand that, we also understand what Jesus can bring to our lives. And we know now that we can share the same space without sharing the same experience. You and I know what a buffet is. And I hope I'm pronouncing the word correctly. Buffet is a kind of sharing experience with food. So there is one or many big tables, large tables, with plenty of different kind of dishes. Many of them usually well-prepared, fine food, good drink, and something for everybody. So you have, for example, a big table with meat, another table with chicken or turkey, another with fish, and so on. Another with rice and potatoes. Suppose you go to a buffet of this sort, and the person who has invited you gives you some advice. Dear Nelson, that's my name. Dear Nelson, you're most welcome to this place. See everything that is around, but be careful. Mind yourself, because the only table that you can take something from is this little table with plain rice and fried potatoes. That's what you can take. The rest you can see. You can watch, even you can smell. Oh, that's all you are able to do. But if you want to eat, you only can eat from that small table over there. You take something from that table. That is the common experience of many people in this world. They see that there are wonderful things for other people. So it is not a shared experience. We share the same spaces. We don't share the same experiences. And then there is another problem, which is related to this former one. You come, for example, you come to that place, to that buffet, but you don't have the experience of a banquet, because you only can get something from this table and the other person from other table. That's not exactly the idea of a banquet. Our beloved Lord Jesus Christ compared the kingdom of heaven with a banquet. And the banquet is everything for everybody. Which means sharing the same experience. I really admire, and I am not short of words to express my gratitude and admiration for societies that I have come to know, like this society, Canada. I've been also to England and to Ireland, and several times in Europe, and I cannot but admire the great achievements that some societies have got. But the risk is to think of that as the limit. The limit is not that. The market is not the limit. So what is beyond the market? My conviction and my belief is that there are at least three big things that the market is not able to give you. The first one is the sense of purpose. The second one is the sense of grace. And the third one is the sense of shared experience. Sense of purpose, sense of grace, and then the sense of shared experience. Let's move on. Sense of purpose. You go to the market, and there's plenty of choices. Plenty of choices. You want to get a mobile phone? There's hundreds of models and plans. If you get this one with this plan, you have this amount of data and this amount of calls and texts and all that. It can be even confusing. You want to get some soap? It is dozens of different versions and brands with different features competing for your attention. Toys, games, pants, hats, shirts, skirts, choices and choices and choices. Well, that's good. That's good in the sense that you are not obliged to get something. You have the freedom of choice. That's good. But then, probably you need some guidance as well. And I mean, when you have so many choices, it's like a person that is in a big city he doesn't know. Okay, I could take this road and then that street, or this road and then the other street, and then get to that avenue, or then... It is It is confusing. It is confusing. And the market, which is a good thing, I am not condemning the market. The market is not designed to take decisions for you. Supposedly you're the one to take the decisions. You have to take your own decision. And remember, market is not only trade, it's not only money, it's not only malls. Market is everything in life. Should I get married? Should I stay single? Should I move overseas? Should I stay here? Should I study this? Should I study that? And the interesting thing is that the market is opening up all those possibilities, and then you have to pick up your own choice, which is good. I repeat myself, it is good. But then the question is, whence do you get the criteria for choosing what you choose? How do you get your criteria? And the criteria, those criteria, is not what the market is giving you, because the market is just opening up everything that is possible. In some societies, the market is that large that they can even offer the possibility of killing yourself. In the Netherlands, in Holland, it is not that difficult to kill yourself. And they call that euthanasia, because euthanasia is open for young people now. It's open for young people. So some young people say, life is unbearable to me. I am suffering a lot. It is psychological pain that I am going through. I cannot and I shouldn't endure this anymore. So I have decided to finish this sad story. So you see, the market is as big as your possibilities, as your desires, but the market is not designed to give you any hint of anything. They can tell you smoking is bad for your health, but anyway, they are offering cigarettes. It's only a matter of reaching some age or using other devices, and you can get your cigarettes. Drinking too much is bad for you, but anyway, there are liquor stores in many places. Using drugs, not a good idea, but anyway, you can get them. So the market is so open, has so many choices, that leaves you without the capacity of taking your decision. A slightly more philosophical way of putting this is, the market is full of means, but lacks ends. Where do you get your ends? Sense of purpose. Sense of purpose is not the way or the means, but the goal, the end of the road. So we need something beyond the market to get our criteria. We need something beyond the market to get some guidance, because in the market is everything. Even the possibility of killing myself, the possibility of destroying my joy, The possibility of getting ill or depressed or sick or whatever. The market offers everything. Even religion for some people is a matter of marketing. I can go to the big society, to society in the widest possible sense of the world, and I can get the religion I like. Or I can create my own religion, as they say that happens in California. You can create your own religion. Okay, now my religion is this one. Seriously, I read yesterday that in Estonia, Europe, there is a religion that consists in asking counseling from trees. I'm serious. Asking counsel from trees. And they teach you how to do that. So you go to the tree and they teach you how to pose your question to the tree, and supposedly the tree replies back. And you get your advice from a tree. Apparently, that is easier than going to confession. I suppose. Although, confession boxes are made of wood. But the idea is that it is not the wood, but the priest within the confession box that is giving you some advice. So in Estonia, you can learn a religion that consists in getting advice from trees. For God's sake, what's next? Getting prayers from flowers, or I don't know. What would be the next? The market is not able to give you true advice. So you need guidance from other source. I know what you may be thinking. I don't need any advice. I know what I want. I know what I prefer. I know what I wish. Oh, little boy, and I know you don't like to be treated as a little boy. Oh, my little girl, and I know you hate to be treated as a little girl. But let me tell you, little boy and little girl, let me tell you, what you think is your natural, spontaneous desire is just what the market has sown in your mind. There's nothing spontaneous in that. When you feel that you're dying for grabbing those sneakers, if I could only grab them. Okay, where did you get that urge to grab those sneakers? I don't know, but I need them. I badly need them. Okay, if we replay the story of your life, we see that the market has sown that wish in you. It is called advertisement. Advertisement. And you can repeat after me. Advertisement. And it is a whole science. The science of advertisement. The science of tinkering with the human mind and managing your desires, and you and I are the targets for people in the business of advertisement. And they know that if they get your desire, they get your attention, they get your time, and they get your money. It is called advertisement. So where do you get your criteria? Where do you get your ends? What are you to do with your only life, your one opportunity on this earth? What are you to do with that treasure that will not happen, never, never on this earth? You're a miracle. You're unique. Nobody was ever, nobody will be ever exactly as you are. Where do you get your criteria? The market has no aid for that. No aid for that at all. The market can manipulate your desires. The market can sow your mind. And they can plant in your heart some desires, so that you eventually get the urge. Have to go to Hawaii. 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 To the point that you decide, okay, I will go, okay. Because you start hearing voices. Voices. You're walking down the park and you hear, have to go to Hawaii. Have to go to Hawaii. Have to go. So in order to stop the voices, you say, okay, I'll go. Advertisement. It is powerful. And I've got some bad news for you. It is more powerful than you. More powerful. The values you cherish, things you buy, places you go, theories you repeat, ideas you believe, they are also created by the market. Mental association, for example. Let's do a little, very short experiment. I will say a word. And please, you, take note of what is the first word that comes to your mind after I pronounce my word. Ready to go? Are you ready? I will say a word, and then you take note of what's the first word that comes to your mind. Ready? Well, I suppose at least some are ready. Thirsty. Thirsty. What came next to your mind? Anybody? Water. Surfing. Somebody else? What was the first word that came to your mind? Would you like? Don't be ashamed. We are a family. No problem in sharing your opinion. Somebody here? So, the market can create mental associations. For example, this one. Luxury. Something comes to your mind. Class. Class. Wow. It's a classic. So, what do we need something beyond the market? My first answer is, because the market is not designed to give you any advice and to give you any guidance. The market can create mental associations, and the market can plant your mind, plant in your mind something. That's everything. Which is the reason why we need something beyond the market. And you can call that philosophy, or you can call that religion. You need something that is not simply trading, giving and receiving, interchanging. You need something different. Sense of purpose. The capacity of looking for something beyond the market. Well, that's part of what we need. And that's part of what a person like Jesus brings to our lives. That was the first point. Second point, sense of grace. By definition, the market works giving and receiving. But there are situations in which you are not able to give anything. Probably you feel that you have come to your own end, that there's no hope for you. Many testimonies that I have had the opportunity to hear begin with that experience. My life was a disaster. I thought I had reached the end of the rope. There was nothing left for me. Because I was seriously ill, because I had cancer, because I lost my friends, because I had terrible failure, because my beloved one left me empty, absolutely empty. So I reached the end of the rope, and there was nothing left for me. And when you say there was nothing left for me, that means I had no chips in that casino. I had no chips in the market. If you go to the huge, beautiful mall, empty-handed, if you have not even a coin, what good is that market for you? What's the purpose of that? If you have nothing. Think, for example, of the very, very natural process of aging. The natural process of aging. You become less powerful, less attractive, less intelligent, less strong, which means weaker. So you are being pushed away from the market. What do you feel in those circumstances? Many people feel that their lives have no purpose at that point. And many feel that there's nothing they can do about that. And many feel that the only solution is, I would like to die with dignity. So I will end my life at this point. Thank you for the drinks. Bye. So, that's the problem. Yes, the market is good when you're strong enough, when you're smart enough. But what about when you have nothing? Nothing. That's what we find in this marvelous text. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to receive eternal life? Jesus answered him, what do the scriptures say? What do you interpret them? How do you interpret them? The man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You are right, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus answered, there was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him half dead. You see, this man reached the end of the rope. Nothing was left to him. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the man, he walked on by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came along, went over and looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was traveling that way, came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. What is this? What is this? What is this parable? What is this parable about? This parable is about going beyond the market. That is what this parable is about. Because this poor man that was robbed and that was half dead had nothing to offer. Not even money, because the money was taken away by the robbers. Not even money. He had nothing. He had reached the end of the rope. And at that point, he received something. Please, pay attention to that. He had nothing. He received something. That's going beyond the market. And that brings joy. That brings joy to your heart. If you receive that kind of gift, if you give that beyond the market, that's wonderful. And that brings you joy. Even if you are not ready to believe with the full heart in Jesus Christ, I do invite you, please make the experience of going beyond the riches of the market. Do that, please. Do something for somebody that has nothing. Do that, please. Thanks be to God, many people in this country have this kind of experience. There is generosity in this country, and I ask the Lord to bless this country. And I encourage you to continue that way and to increase that kind of experience, because that is exactly what makes you human. And you can only discover all the riches that you have within when you begin to go beyond the market. That brings to your own awareness all the riches you have. So that's the second invitation. The first one was sense of purpose. The market will never, ever give you guidance. They can manipulate you. They cannot give you guidance. Second point, the joy of giving away. The joy of going beyond trade, and then the joy of sharing a true experience. The true experience of sharing, I mean, Sharing that is not only sharing the same space. Believe me, there is a call, there is a vocation, not only for people, but also for cultures and for countries. If you as a person are very intelligent, that's wonderful. But from a Christian perspective, there is a duty attached to that gift. And that's the duty of sharing all that intellectual treasure that you have. If your country is rich in culture, rich in humanity, there is a duty to be fulfilled in the world. So that this world of God becomes the world of all and not only the world of a few. Many countries in this world, many nations in this world have been excluded from history, pushed away. They cannot decide by themselves. They have lost their dignity. So what we say about people, individual persons here, can also be applied to countries. But that is the talk for another day. So let me sum up. It is great that we have so many opportunities, so much technology, so many services, and so many choices. And we have called that the market. Yes, the market is a good thing. And that brings to you some sense of freedom and some sense of dignity. You are in command. But the market cannot solve everything that is human. You also need something. And what you need is some criteria so that you really, really take the best decision. And those criteria cannot be taken from the market itself. Because the market is giving the choices, not choosing in place of you. And that is what true religion offers to you. True religion. Criteria. So that you use wisely what life has granted to you. That you use in a human, enriching, caring, and loving manner what life has granted to you. That's the first point. And then the second point, the experience of grace. Grace, a very religious word, but the word that everybody needs, not only religious people. Grace, that experience of having reached the end of the rope and still receiving something. And that creates immense joy. That creates praise and gratitude. That creates the beginning of true happiness, true lasting happiness. And we need that sense of grace. And then remembering that this world of God is for everybody, so that we can really take concern not only of our own interests, but we can go beyond what is immediate, and we can think of others, and we can enrich the experience of them all the same as we are enriched by the experience of sharing. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank you for your time, and I kindly invite you to stand up, to say some prayer, and to finish this gathering. First of all, after so many words and so much patience on your side, let's ask the Lord very deep, deep in our hearts, make us truly human. Bring us back that pity that makes us truly human. Bring to us, Lord, that experience of grace, that experience of loving care. O Lord, come with the power of your Holy Spirit. Pour upon us that gift of love, especially for young people over here. Oh my God, give us the guidance, give us that light that comes from the high. Give us that sweet experience of being with you and being advised and being guided by you. Beyond the logic of giving and receiving, beyond the logic of trade, you are the Lord. You are a generous, you're so generous, God. Dear Lord, express your compassion. Allow your compassion to run free into our hearts. Bring your caring love to each one of us. And be praised, my God. Be praised, my Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God the Father, for sending us your only begotten Son. Thank you for Jesus, who walked on this earth expressing the immense richness of grace, reaching out to people that were so sad, that were so poor in their hearts, in their pockets, in their souls, but that were so in need of you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the immense, for the great gift of Jesus, who contains everything that was needed in our souls. Thank you, Lord. Lord God Almighty, how great and wonderful are your deeds. King of the nations, how right and true are your ways. Who will not stand in awe of you, Lord? Who will refuse to declare your greatness? You alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship you, because your just actions are seen by all. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Join me as we glorify the Lord, as we say, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Under the loving care of our Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, we commend our lives, we commend our Christian faith, so that we appreciate what we have, and we also learn to go beyond the market. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for your time. God bless you.